God bless you. Welcome to Heart of Worship podcast episode 4. I thank God for you, the audience. It's been amazing 4 weeks, and I just pray that you keep on watching, and we want to hear your comments. And a lot of our questions last week were based on what you mentioned. Again, today I am joined to my right, my brother Doogie.
Amen. God bless you guys.
To my left again, filling for Angelo, is Andrew Mitchell.
God bless everyone.
God bless you. And all the way to my left, Kolya, our worship leader.
Amen. God bless you guys.
So we're back again, and there are some things that I feel essentially we left out. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's some clips there that create a sense of, you know, where's the rest of it? But, you know, they're just to get you going so you can listen to the whole podcast. We want you to listen to all of it. We are going scriptural. We're not just coming with our own ideas. And we hope that in everything that we say, we study. Here we are. Do we want to put more time into this? Of course we do. The ministry in itself is based out of Houston, Texas. I am the pastor of the church. These are the servants of the ministry. We want to be always with the vision that we want to give you a Bible-based answer. Mm-hmm. Together with it, God has allowed us to follow some criteria in what we believe a standard church should look like. And why we're even mentioning this, Doogie, is because, you know, we touched on some very, you know, positive points here with worship and what church is. Taken away, I want this. I want to lace this with every episode.
Amen.
We, the church, together make the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not the brand, not the building, not the doctrine. Because unfortunately, we face ourselves, and we're in a generation, and we live in Houston, and whoever lives in Houston knows exactly what I'm saying. Now, I respect that you have different beliefs, but they have to have not just our own mindset ideas, but they have to have biblical context. And we respect what you believe. We're telling you what we believe and what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. We never want to Amen. Give our own idea what it mentions, but rather let the scripture interpret itself. That is always the best way we can approach the Word of God. So it's a broad topic. We want to maybe 7 points quickly get to them. What makes a standard church? It might sound like revival by the time we finish, but truly it's the standard church. What does it look like? What makes a body of Christ? You know, again, we mentioned it last week. This is not church. This is part of a function that we do as a body of believers, but this will never fulfill or take the place of church. Of what church needs to be.
For sure.
And we're not talking about building again. And if you have been hearing already since the past 3 episodes, this is episode number 4, you will know exactly what we're talking about. We encourage you, go back to episode 1 if you haven't listened to it, and it will be a blessing to you. Okay, so the first one at the top is the obvious one. I get the first one. We first have to be believers in Christ. And how do we become believers of Christ first? Is by preaching the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel has the power unto salvation. And this type of faith that is triggered off in us, the Bible says that this is a rhema word that is given to a person to receive what it is essentially the treasure of Christ. Amazing. So, and I can stay the whole program with this, but I'm not going to. But you're out there. You're the believer. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The moment that the word comes into your life, the most amazing, the most greatest decision that you and I can ever do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But Amen. In order for us to do that first, we must recognize something. I preach this from the pulpit, and I'll preach it here. To be a born-again believer doesn't mean to improve slightly your life. Maybe a lot of us maybe have taken the journey to say, I'm going to be a believer because it's good to be a believer. Everything's going to be peaceful. Everything's going to be great. I have to say from my point, I grew up in church. I come from a Catholic. I come from a Jehovah's Witness background. But I have to say this. When the gospel was preached, the full gospel message, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. Was never the same again.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is the first thing, which is what? I was lost.
Yeah.
That has to be at the high point. Number one is probably the most important.
Yes.
If we don't have this right, the rest of the points are just going to be standard religion.
Very good.
This has to be first. To be a born-again believer is to recognize the gospel will do something to you. Recognize that you're lost. And there's only one Savior. one Redeemer,
amen,
sent by the Father, and His name is Jesus Christ, that died for your sin and my sin on Calvary Cross,
amen,
and became an atonement for your sin and my sin. And whoever believes unto Him accepts that free gift of salvation. That's His grace.
Amen.
That no man shall lose. Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
So
amen,
that's the first thing. From there, there's an explosion of things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let Andrew take the second one, which was, that's the obvious. What do I do when I become a born-again believer? I want to be baptized.
Right.
Now, I'm going to let him answer. He's on the hot seat next. But the idea is here, this is, again, belief system. There are doctrines and belief system that believe that it is so essential that it is the key to salvation, which we don't believe that. I'm going to make that
yes,
clear. We do not believe that if you're not baptized, you're not saved.
Right.
Okay, and Andrew's going to answer the rest of it. He's in the hot seat. Andrew, my brother, go for it.
So like the pastor said, baptism in a church is not salvation. So when you do become a believer and you understand that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He died for you on the cross and for the forgiveness of your sins and many other things,
mm-hmm,
you are saved by grace. That's mm-hmm the free gift that He gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And the baptism that we do in church, and we have maybe discounted a little bit because it's like, well, I need to get baptized. It's
right,
something I should do.
Right.
Well, all my friends are getting baptized this week, so I'm going to do it. Mm. Well, it's Thanksgiving. It's
Christmas. Becomes traditional.
It's Easter.
Correct.
I'm 12 now, 13, 14, 15, whatever it may be. But it's an inward change is happening in yourself when you encounter Christ, when you become a believer and understand that He is your Lord and Savior. And it's an outward expression of that, that you want to be baptized, that you're mm-hmm saying to the world that I want my old man to die. I want my old ways to die. The flesh inside, the flesh is dying, but my spirit is living. My spirit craves eternity.
Mm.
And I want to show the world that it's an outward expression of that, that my spirit is taking over my flesh. And I want to be born again into the new man, into the new creation that Christ has already begun the process of making me.
Very good.
Perfect. Amen. Perfect. Listen, and I'm reading the notes on it, and you read none of them, but I'm thankful that it was in you. So God bless you for that.
Bless you.
And that's the way it needs to be, Andrew, perfectly executed. Again, we're justified by faith, sanctified and washed by the word of God. And
amen,
how true that is, that in the burial of that concept, in submersion of water, we truly symbolize that the old man has not only been crucified with Christ, but is buried with Christ.
Amen.
And when we resurrect as a new creation in Christ Jesus, put off the old man, put on the new man. Perfect.
Amen. Beautiful.
So it leaves us with, again, audience, this should be something as a baseline teaching to every church.
Yes.
I kid you not. So much so that it might sound simple, but put them all together and you have church. The next one, Doogie, leaves us with that idea of regular assemblies.
Yeah, for sure.
What does that look like to the audience, and what does it consist in? And again, Doogie's going to answer this question, sure, and so yours.
So the regular assembly of a church, its body, again, it's not the building.
Amen.
It's a community of people that gather together.
That's right.
To exhort themselves. The Word of God in Hebrews 10:25 tells us something.
Mm-hmm.
Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, coming together as a church body, it's spiritual growth. It's to sharpen each other. Accountability to you, Pastor.
Yes.
I carry this sense of this accountability with all my brothers that we get to communicate with, you
yes
know?
Amen.
I want to go back to Hebrews 10 real quick, where it says, but exhorting one another. I find it beautiful that the word exhorting is to console another brother.
Yes.
Is to lift up, to encourage when a brother is going through something.
Yes.
A situation outside their life. They have a community of believers to go to. Hey, brother, I'm going through this. I'm mm-hmm struggling with this. Am I doing something wrong? And when you have these godly people in your life, I believe that God puts certain people in your life,
yes,
Pastor.
Yes.
Exactly.
That gives them the knowledge and the wisdom that you're needing in that point. I believe sometimes, though, we get caught up in the assembly, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe we get the wrong concept, mm-hmm, not to go back of last week, but we start to do it in vain. I'm looking forward to church, Korea, get to hang out with the boys,
yes,
to assault, to beat out, to joke and to laugh. I pray that we can examine ourselves again. 2 Corinthians 13 tells us something. What is it? 13:5. It says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Hmm. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Amen?
Amen.
So, again, regular assemblies of the church body is to uplift each other, to be there, to have the support, to uplift one another. It's not a game. It's not to hang out. It's not to dress the best, drive the best. It's something that we need to exhort each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Perfect. So, so far, and we're only three in, being a believer, being baptized, and how beautiful to have someone. And I think the one that touched me is how many times in church we find ourselves surrounded by so many people, but yet feel alone.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Amazing.
And it, that's not the design. The design of church was that this assembly of people have a genuine love and a commitment to each other.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have that in the church, look how we can have the first two right and we have this one wrong, then we're missing the idea of church. To have a community of people, Doogie Perfect, support each other.
Amen. And Pastor, it brings a lot of people away from church, that they walk away from it.
Yeah.
That they get hurt from the church, especially in our generation, that they went to church and they lack that concern, that want, that burden for the people. And it drove them away, and it hurt them so bad that they don't want to go back.
Very good. And this is why I feel that there might be simple points. And truly, and besides everything we've been teaching on this podcast, believe me, before the podcast is over, we are going to touch on some topics that I believe need to be spoken about, because it's good that we're going through this, but in it, there's some fine encounter. There's beautiful encounter. And when we gather, right, Kolya?
Yes.
When we gather together, point number four is worship and gatherings.
Amen.
And I've been serving the Lord, I forget the years, but a large chunk of it, I serve with my brother Kolya. And I had some experiences. Then both him and I can say that in our service to the Lord and gathering together in that body, I believe has set a marker in our lives that I've truly encountered God in the worship service.
Amen.
That even after 17 years, I can still tell you, those will be the highlights of my life. And Kolya, you were there.
Amen.
I want you to just touch on it as the Lord leads you.
Amen. And those are the times that I'll never forget, because Ochechimos, they made such a big impact on my life.
Amen.
A regular standard church should be a church that worships, should be a church that has worship services, should be a church that worships.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do? Sokarolo worship on the Kangari. It expresses our gratitude.
Amen.
It expresses his presence. And one thing I wanted to share on is that I could remember the first time I was in church, and
come on,
it was during one of the worship services. And for the very first time, Pastor, I experienced the presence of God.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
And what did it do to me? It made me want more.
Mm.
It made me want to come back and want more. Oh my God, want to go home to worship. It made me want to just come to him every minute of my time because of that feeling. Something happens on the presence of Devlesko.
Yes.
Things change.
Yes.
In the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that people get saved. Salvation happens in the presence of God. I believe that people get delivered. I believe that people could fall in love with him in the presence of God. And this is why it's very important for us to be to a church that has worship.
Amen.
Very
Amen.
Good.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
I like to touch on that real quick. Acts 2:47 says something, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You see, there's a word there. The scripture there is praising God. It's that encounter of worship, of not asking, of not wanting, but praising God thanking him for salvation.
Amen.
Thanking
Amen.
Him for dying on the cross for us, right? And when you start to praise God in this true sense as a church body, as a whole, Pastor, look what the Lord starts to do. He starts to add people daily to the church who are being saved. Amen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
And perfect. And I think we're in the same mindset, because that's exactly what I was going to add. I was going to say, if that season meant anything to me, was God bringing the people and the impact that God was doing in the life of the church. People were being added to the church.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
There's something tangible about that encounter.
Amen. There is.
That people want what you have. And how can Beautiful. We be a witness? Sometimes we want to be a witness in the wrong way. And I believe in it, we're going to have an opportunity to where, what does the church doesn't not supposed to look like? Because how we attract people to the gospel cannot be for what we wear, what we look like.
Come on.
But something tangible that is truly expressed by saying, I don't know what that person has, but it looks like there's a joy. There looks there's like an aroma
Amen.
That is tangible of a life of a worshiper, a believer, a born-again believer that truly follows Christ, that a community of people say, why would they add it daily? I'm just curious. It's because they were what? They were flashy. There was no reason for them to be flashy. No. Nobody had nice cars parked in the front.
Yeah.
There was no building. Catch 22. There was no building to be flashy about.
Amazing.
So you start to look at that. The very early idea of organizations was displayed to a gathering of people that had a tangible aroma that pleased God and brought people from afar, from every tribe, to say, I want that.
Amen.
And the church was added to that. And I believe in the celebration of worship. Truly, those are moments that I believe are life-changing. For me,
Amen.
My testimony be the same.
Amen.
God did a work in that season, and it still is in my life till today. As being a young servant, when everybody's listening to this, when you experience the real thing, there's no forgeries in your life
Come
no
on.
More.
Amen.
Amen.
The real deal is the real deal. And at the moment, it does something to you, though. You detect when something's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's servant.
Yeah, there's you a could.
Difference
you could
between
tell.
Emotion,
yes,
and there's a difference between true encounter.
Wow,
and I believe for me, and I'm gonna say as it is, and I'm not trying to be offensive to anyone. We can sound good, we can sound professional,
yeah.
We can have the best sound system, we can have the best vocalist, the best instrument players, which I want it all. But if there's no anointing of encounter to true a heart of a worshiper, it's just some goosebumps, and mm-hmm. all you need to say mm-hmm. after is. It was a nice service,
yeah.
but it didn't change your life.
Amazing.
And I believe that's at the true gathering. And then you start to realize, Pastor, that sounds like revival when we get together. No.
Mm-hmm.
We should experience that as we gather together. And as the day of the Lord is approaching, this yes. should intensify,
yes.
not weaken over time.
Very
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
There's another 2-3 points more, if God allows us, for His glory by the timing, I'm saying at least. I believe something huge, Doogie, I would have to say again, you touched a little bit on it, on the point on getting together, the assembly. Again, yeah. here, point five is exhortation from the world. Mm. I think it still falls in the category of what you were talking about, but expand on that topic for a bit. And what do I get in the benefit of being part of a body? And through my teachers and my preachers, what has played a vital role for your life? And how can you make the audience understand that it's essential to be part of that?
Okay. So, exhortation from the Word. I believe that... I'll make it simple.
Go ahead.
Being born again is living a lifestyle according to the Word. Right, mm-hmm. Pastor? Mm-hmm. It's not head knowledge. It's not, I know the Word and this is what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a passion.
Right.
To know when you live in a lifestyle that needs correction and Very exhortation.
Good. Perfect.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
I really feel, I mean, 1 Peter says something, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. I think, again, we need to apply the word to our life.
Amen.
And again, through the assembly of the body, God puts people in our life that might have a little bit more knowledge, Pastor, of the word.
Mm-hmm.
God puts you in my life, and you was able to correct me in a word that lined up in a way that lined up with the word of God. Amen.
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 Amen. And again, How can I have that without being submissive
right
to our leaders?
Yeah.
Point number six is what it is. Together, that assembly, Kolya, we get together and we have a celebration of the Lord's Supper, in which truly people, yeah, I'm going to church, I have communion, and mm-hmm. that's fine and that's great. But sometimes we make it such a routine that we forget about how important it is to remember the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, and to reflect on that. In order for me to receive that, I have to truly remember what Jesus did on that cross, the finished work of the cross.
Yes.
Some of us don't get reminded of that on a daily for some reason. We forget about it. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that we get together for is to celebrate. There is no church without this.
Amen.
There is no church without the sacrifice, the death, the burial, and the resurrection
that's
of Jesus Christ.
There is
no church. And that's the thing that passes us by the most.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
And that you get together. And yes, it's a symbolic symbol. It's the cup, which is the juice. I mean, back in the day, they used to drink wine. It was real bread, unleavened bread. But it's not the thing. The thing is what it represents, what it causes you to remember. And that point of worship. And it reminds believers of the grace and the love of God that is essential to practice. This connection is the mission of the church.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
And if we don't have that, how can I live outside of this? There's one point here that I am going to say that truly is the difference. And this is going to maybe create some ripple effects.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to. I got to be obedient.
Go ahead.
I believe this is something I suffered with and we probably all suffered with.
Come on.
Is when it comes time to communion, right?
Mm.
You'll see the communion tray, you see the communion tray pass a lot of people.
Yes.
And what is it okay to take communion if you're suffering with something, with an affliction? What khuri, what unforgiveness, Korea? Do we have to get ourselves right? What? Give me the process and explain it as simple as you can. What establishes or makes us okay to take communion?
I feel at times we disqualify ourselves from taking communion because we have a sense of bitterness towards someone.
Mm.
And I have to really say this at the peak of it. I don't believe that none of us in here or who's listening truly has the ability to forgive out of our own strength.
No.
Very good.
And I think this is where everybody misses. And sometimes I'm going to be very transparent about something, and I want the congregation and everybody to listen to this too, because eventually everybody's going to listen. Is when you don't take communion, you're putting yourself in such a place that I feel like at times I want to stop the whole service. I want to go to that person and preach not taking the communion. Because as a born-again believer, what qualifies us to take communion is to understand that I'm a sinner that has been saved by grace.
Wow.
Amen.
The whole point. That's the whole point
so
of it.
So what should be the idea? I need to make my peace with God.
That's right.
First. Mm. And ask, because sometimes what we do, and I think this is the mistake I've done in my past, I thought that I had to go ask forgiveness of that person before I come to God. And I lacked every time because I would approach that person out of a systematic mindset of religion and asking my forgiveness first because God won't forgive me because I didn't forgive that person first, which has a truth to it. Because this is almost like a thermostat, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a thermostat to all of us listening. If we can't forgive our brother, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Come on.
The problem is, if grace has been given to you, why are you not giving grace?
Amazing.
Or even better, the amount of debt that God forgave you nowhere compares to what anything and anyone can do to you in this life and another 1,000 lifetimes will never compare the level of grace that God has given us as the church. So, if that has been revealed to you, it should be easy to forgive your brother.
Amazing.
Because we're talking about let the love of God cover a multitude of sin. We mentioned it in the last episode. So I think my answer to that, I need God's strength. I think the simple answer would be to the audience, I need God's strength and I need to forgive not of my strength, but the strength that He provides. Is my revelation of humility laced with all of this? Yes. We have to walk in the humility of forgiveness. Because if this is not embedded into us as we started at the top, Christ-believing believers that got baptized, And we're going down the list and start to realize, if I didn't get point one, two, three, and four right, and I get to communion, oh, I can't forgive that person. I can't take my communion.
Amazing.
Then we missed all the points.
Mm. Wow.
We missed all of it. And this is why we do these teachings, so that you, the audience, understand. Listen, I pray for your ministers, your teachers, wherever you are. But if you're not in church, this should be the number one thing that you look at. What truly forms a body of Christ? Now to the last one, Doogie.
Okay.
I think it is all connected together.
Amen. Yes.
Because we need to have something. Not Instagram appointed. Mm. Not self-appointed.
Come on.
But God-appointed leaders.
Amazing.
That's right. Beautiful.
That are ordained by God to give us this.
Yes.
Amen.
Either teachers or pastors or a ministry, elders that are responsible for teaching and shepherding and equipping the congregation. This is the role, and it's critical to maintain order and spiritual health in the church.
Amen.
Amen.
If this office is man appointed, then the rest of the body pays for the suffering for the leader not being anointed.
Mm. Wow.
Because we say, well, it's the church, it's the people. Let me tell you something. I'm just one man, right?
Right.
I'm just one man. If I live in corruption, I promise you, all of you guys live in corruption.
Amazing. I want to ask you something.
Okay.
A few topics ago, you mentioned on the assembly and getting together, and you said there wasn't a church building. There wasn't Flash. There wasn't Obadi Kamos, right?
Mm.
So, you know, this might be a little straight to the point, and again, it's not pointed to anybody, but I really believe it's a subject that it's on everyone's mind. You might see it in the comic section, in the comment sections, but it's not talked about publicly.
Mm.
What is your opinion on flashy pastors that live extravagant lifestyles that show flash that doesn't represent Christ-like living?
Wow. Okay, that was straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I want to leave off with I said scripture reference everything for everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 14, 23 says this. So when they had appointed the elders in every church, they prayed, fasting, and they committed to the Lord in whom they had believed. And I believe that praying and being appointed for an area such as this, again, I don't want to sound offensive. Yeah. That's not the objective of this. For the audience that's listening, I know there's some hate comments too in the process of it. Listen, we don't mind it. I know some of it is based on ignorance, and we're forgiving to it. We're not lashing back out. We're just saying, hey, listen to the whole podcast. Listen to what we're saying. Not just one topic line. And this has to do with a lot of it. Doogie brought up a question. You know, well, what's my point of view on a flashy pastor? Now, I'm on the hot seat, right? Because I'm a pastor too.
Come on.
And I got to live a life that matches what I preach. Otherwise, that I become, you know, a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I'm preaching one thing and I'm living in a different way.
Yeah.
I believe that a lot of our teaching, Kolya, and I remember this growing up in the church, young. And I always thought the idea that the minister needed to show a sense of wealth and prosperity because he's a man of God, and rightfully so. He needs to have the good stuff and the good clothing and the good car because he's a man of God. And I mean, I don't know about everyone here. That felt like pretty attractive.
Of course.
And I want to be a pastor.
Of course.
You know, let me just pastor the church one day, and then, you know, I get the salary and I get paid, and then it becomes very attractive, especially the one that's struggling in life, and all of a sudden you got a salary now and you got all these perks, and you start to realize, well, wait a minute. I get the point here.
Yeah.
I get the point. So when I look at the Old Testament, we see King Solomon, we see King David.
Great example.
And they're like, there's a centralized place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the temple, and it displays the riches of God.
Mm.
Because no one could see God. It was a sea kingdom. You got to see it.
Mm. Right.
And amazing. He became the most powerful, most influential king. And through the reign of King David and through the reign of King Solomon, Israel faced the era of prosperity. When King Solomon came, it was not just prosperity, but it was also the era of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
God had given him the wisdom to be profoundly the most wisest king that ever lived, neither before him nor after him, both in riches and both in wisdom. Now, the problem with that is when Bathsheba had come, Queen Sheba come and seized the King Solomon's wealth, she marveled at what she's seen. Now, I want you to remember this, because it had to be a go-see kingdom.
Right.
Today, it's not a sea kingdom.
No.
And now it's a go tell the faith kingdom.
Amen.
Amazing.
So when you look at Pentecost, something happens. And with the fire and the speaking in tongues, we can stay on all of that, but we're missing out on a big, big part of it. Now the fire, or what used to be the pillar of fire that signified the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, is now individually in the believer. Now you become the very transferable temple of God. And I have to say that before I get to what I want to get to. Never should we attract anyone to God because of what we drive and what we wear. Because what's going to happen, and I have to drop this, you might attract people to the kingdom for the wrong reason.
Yes.
Come on.
Wow.
Because people struggle. Yeah. You and I struggle. I'm a working minister, so I get to say this. We struggle sometimes in life. And I might give you a wrong impression that to be a believer means that you're not going to go through anything. You're going to have all this financial aid and every single part. You have to worry about nothing. I'm sorry to tell you this. I thrive on this and I teach this. You as a believer, as a disciple, through hell or high water, if you have it or if you don't have it, you're consistent, you're breaking through because your strength comes from the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't come on your reliance on finances. It doesn't come on your reliance on what you have. You're not accepted in the society of the church because you have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You're accepted because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and received the gospel. That makes you part of the family. Everybody should be accepted in that sense. Now, as far as flash, I'm sorry. If you're trying to attract people because of being flashy, I'm sorry. I know a lot of ministers are flashy. And I wish that I could give me the opening to say this, but this is a podcast, and I pray that in one of those strolls out of Instagram or Facebook or whatever platform, they listen to this. I would challenge the fact for you to consider this. To be flashy might give the wrong invitation to the gospel.
100%.
Oh, my God.
And I believe, look what Psalms 33, verse 3 says, because of your long suffering is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than my life, and my lips shall praise you. I can tell you verse after verse, and I'm going to give to the list of a few of them so that we have a broad idea. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, is do not lay yourself up treasure on earth where moth and rust can get to him, but store up yourself treasure in heaven. Everything about the New Testament is not storing up ourselves treasure here on earth, but treasure on heaven. Even to the rich man that built greater vats in the Gospel of Luke, God calls him, you fool. Your soul is required of you tonight. And he spent all of his life to gather wealth and wealth and wealth and to enjoy it. And he tells him, you spend all of your life to gather wealth and you're gonna die tonight because you put your treasure in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. This is the idea. If anybody that is broken and hurt, I have to say this. This is a passion of mine. Born again believer, a preacher, should attract a multimillionaire and make him feel that he's broke when he truly preached the gospel.
Amazing.
Because otherwise, then soski faida.
Yeah.
What's the point? I believe I am not a prosperity preacher. And neither none of yous, you were like that when I met you. You, none of yous were prosperity-based Christians. But I believe that the poison to the gospel can be the prosperity, wealth, health and wealth has destroyed larger part of the message why people come to Christ.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So Flash, I'm sorry. I believe the way you should glorify God is not by wearing it, but by giving it away.
Amen.
Because the only way that you can show that you don't care about money is by how you help the needy, not how you flash it. So to the flash, I'm against it. And again, I have nothing wrong with you having good things.
Yes.
But are you glorifying God in those good things? That is the question. Am I glorifying God in the things in which God blesses me? The idea of you having an abundance is not so that you live a luxurious life, but to show that your treasure, your eternal treasure that is waiting for you for eternity, is greater than anything that this world has. The Bible says that the earth is ours, we'll inherit it one day. So don't lose your mind for a few things are in it, because all of it is going to be yours one day, and it's not too far for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Amen.
Beautiful.
There's so much still.
Yeah, we still
have a lot. Time on the clock.
We're a little over 35 minutes.
Okay, so final thoughts all the way to my left and starting this way.
Amen. It's just everything, Pastor. Whatever you said is the truth. Worship, baptism, These are all essential things in the church and have so much meaning to them.
Amen.
And whatever you say, I mean, I'm in agreement with it.
Amen.
Glory goes to God.
Andrew.
I'm trying to be quick. Everything that we mentioned tonight, the scriptures, the flash, the standard of a church.
Mm.
If you have established a standard, and I'm speaking to whoever's watching this, if your church is established with this standard, these 7 points, a God-appointed leader, baptism, worship, whatever we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and that flash is there, they haven't set the standard right.
Mm.
Because throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, Jesus' message is that in this world, there will be hardship. There will be trials. There will be tribulation. And if you preach a prosperity message, you're not preaching what Jesus preached. It's merely that this world is tough, mm-hmm. but he will get us through it. He gives Amen. Us the strength to get Amen. Through it. And God will bless you. God doesn't want you to suffer. God will bless you. We're not saying you can't have nice things. God right. will give you nice things.
Highlight that. Make sure.
God will give you nice things. We're not against people having nice things and cars and watch, whatever. Right. We're not against that. We're not going to say that. But the message of the gospel, the message of the New Testament, the apostles, Paul, there will be trials and tribulations. There will be suffering. God mm. will give you the strength to get through it. Flash is not there. The prosperity is not supposed to be there. That's right. not the message of the cross.
Perfect. Andrew, just to top of that, I know we're coming up to close to 40 minutes, but the idea is here now. Don't think something strange has happened to you as a believer if you're going through these trials.
Oh, come on. Great.
Because sometimes what happens is that why am I not facing that prosperity? Why am I going yeah. through this? And I have to say this to you. I didn't want to touch on it because I'm going to expand to it. But listen, God will bring you to a point of testing for promotion.
Mm.
And be careful that we don't miss out on the process.
Mm-hmm.
Process of your life is so beautiful because God is the potter. We are the clay, shaping us, is molding us. I believe God wants to make a vessel in which he pours himself onto your life so that he can do exactly that, pour himself in our lives so that we can display who he is. Sapinaso Andrew, don't get it wrong. Having things is not a wrong thing as long as the things don't have you.
Amen.
That's a right. different story.
Beautiful.
Doogie, final marks.
If anything, I'm going to add to that, it's but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Again, absolutely beautiful topics. Touch back on the flash and the luxuries of life. Nothing wrong with it. Yes. But we have to seek the kingdom of God first in all that we do. Amen. And all those little things will be added on to long as God is at the center of it all.
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen.
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 God bless you guys.
God bless you. Till next time. Episode 5 coming up. There is some concepts of a full potential church. And of course, discipleship is what we're going to touch on next week. Be blessed. Forward it to someone. If it's blessed you, you want to hear your comments. If you have questions, post them up. We got 5-6 men watching these things. And if there's something that we want to bring a light that you want to answer to, we'll be happy to answer it. God bless you. Till next time. Ashon de
blessar. Bless everyone.
God bless you. God bless you guys.